How does it empower women to dance on a stripper pole in front of children at the Super Bowl halftime show? And are Taylor Swift, Lady Gaga, and Super Bowl MVP Pat Mahomes Christian? Stay with us as we look at these and other stories on the 5:11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to the 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's episode, we have a number of stories that I would like to talk about. Some that just recently took place this last Sunday and others that have kind of been going on for a little bit. And we actually posted a couple of images on our Instagram and Facebook page for Good Fight Ministries. And I want to talk about those. But first things first, I wanted to tell you guys that the Good Fight Ministries team, we are really, really excited. The Good Fight Ministries team, we actually made sure that Tony's going too. And we got Joe and myself. We are coming out to Texas from the 25th to the 27th. I hope you guys will be excited. We'll be in San Antonio on the 25th and the 27th, and Corpus Christi on the 26th. So I'm really excited about the topics of conversation that Joe's going to be speaking on. We're actually going to have to do some of the shows, including 5:11 News, while we are out there, and the Good Fight Radio Show, because we are literally going to be in Texas when we usually record our episode. So I'm actually really excited. You know, maybe we'll do a little live thing. I don't know. So I just can't wait to meet you guys out there. I got to speak out there last year. A few of us drove out there and I got to give my testimony, and it was a great time. So I'm really excited to get together with some brethren and talk about some cool topics, some really, really important topics. So keep that in prayer. And we also, guys, we are this close. And I know I've probably said it way too many times, but I walked into the office today and I pushed the desk for the new Good Fight show and the new 5:11 News show that's going to be getting filmed in our studio. I pushed the desk into the office, and tomorrow I will be in there and I will hopefully start putting some of the stuff together. I am so excited to get that going. Tony's so excited. We went shopping last week at IKEA. I had never been there, no idea what that looked like. And my wife was really surprised, as well as Tony's, that neither of us had ever been to an IKEA before.
We got lost.
Yes, we did get lost in IKEA. It is kind of crazy, but we were really blessed, and we're excited to get some materials out to you guys. That's the one thing, is that we have tried and we've been praying for a number of years when it comes to Good Fight Ministries about how do we get more material? How do we get more information? How can we better edify the body of Christ? How can we better bring the gospel to people? And I think that having a studio like that, where we don't got to travel, we don't got to pay to be in some studio, we have our own studio every single day, we're really excited to get some stuff out to you guys and excited for what this next year we have planned. So please pray that the Lord's hand will just be completely upon it. And we just thank you guys for being alongside of us. Some of the testimonies I've heard this last week, getting a lot of text messages, we're really blessed. And I'm hoping, and I'm thinking about doing something where for the 5:11 News show, maybe we do some sort of interview, maybe once a month or so, like we did last week. But today's show, I want to talk about the news, of course, because this is the 5:11 News show. And when it comes to the news, well, there wasn't much bigger news than the Super Bowl here in America. That's a huge event, and literally the halftime show is one of the things that no matter how good, bad, or in between, and I'm not talking about good as in morally good, but in the eyes of the world, good performing or good performance during the halftime show, it's going to be talked about. It's going to be talked about a lot on Twitter, on Instagram, on all the social media that you can, all the avenues you can get to. And one of the things that was talked about most was, of course, the halftime show. And during the halftime show, You had, some people called it geriatrics because some of the ladies were a little older than what they're used to. But I think that was probably more when the Rolling Stones played. That was more of a geriatric thing. The ladies, a couple of Latina ladies, J-Lo and Shakira, they were out there dancing away, and a lot of people thought, this is really, really great. I can't believe this. We have such, it's such an empowering thing to have two women take the stage, because usually it's men, and men are going to take the stage, and they're going to be the ones that doing the performance, but we are so excited to have some women up there running the show and have it be a show with only women. So people were really excited about this. And, you know, sadly, it harkens back for me the reminder of Wonder Woman and how excited, sadly, a lot of Christians were because of Wonder Woman, and how excited they were that finally we have this mega movie that's coming out, and I can bring my daughters to it, and we can sit there and watch Wonder Woman be the star of this film. And sadly, guys, Wonder Woman, as you can see on some of the posters that they put out, she's the pagan princess. She's the daughter of Zeus. You're worshiping an idol. I mean, it's heartbreaking. And then when it came to this, the argumentation used by so many Christians to act like it's not a big deal, and the performance was disgusting. I just have to be honest. At some points, it literally looks like a pagan orgy is going on stage. At one point, J-Lo actually puts her arms out as if she's crucified. As everyone worships her, she's on a stripper pole, dancing half naked, grabbing her crotch, doing all of this, all the while in front of children, not just on TV, but J-Lo herself had her daughter sing. And at one point in the act, brought a bunch of little girls on stage. At another point, they had them look like they were all chained up. And you just think about some of the relevance there. If you guys don't know, the Super Bowl, during the Super Bowl, every year in the area of the Super Bowl, it is the high time for child sex trafficking here in America. So a lot of people may be looking at it and saying, oh, look, she's trying to point to immigration and all this stuff. While that may be true, the underlining issue is that really she helps J-Lo, Shakira, and a lot of the mainstream pornography, which is what this is symbolizing, helps to push sex trafficking, helps to push perversion and sensuality, because that's exactly what it is. They're on stage gyrating and dancing around half naked, grabbing their crotches, sticking their butts out, okay, for everyone to look at. And we're talking about perverted, disgusting men watching this, bragging about it online, how awesome it is. And you have little kids in cages right out front. And in my mind, when I saw it, it was complete symbolism to the sex trafficking movement. Okay? With all these kids that are actually in chains, with all these little kids that are being sex trafficked during the Super Bowl, by the way, high time for it. And some of the greatest Super Bowl players all time, Lawrence Taylor, Warren Sapp, actually got caught. Not this year, but in previous years, trafficking these little kids. And yet there they are with their Hall of Fame jackets during the Super Bowl with their, you know, panning to them. And guys, it all parallels one with another. And sadly, guys, it's one thing for the world to look at this and say, oh, this is so empowering. This is so amazing. We expect them to be deluded. Okay, we should expect people without a new heart, without a new mind, without minds renewed when it comes to the righteousness of God, we should expect people to do wicked things. That doesn't mean that we turned a blind eye. It doesn't mean that we remain silent on things that are wicked. That is not what Scripture says. And I want to point this out because we posted and it got, I don't know, like 800 shares or something on our page, an image, and it says, "Want to know how messed up the world is? Their idea of empowering women is having him dance on a stripper pole and then bring children on stage as they continue in their sensual display." And we had a lot of people come out against us and say, "I can't believe you would say that. That's so mean to talk about the world that way. And we're supposed to be judging the church." Yes, 1 Corinthians 5 tells us, what am I to do to judge the outside world? I need to judge the church. And do you want to know the context of 1 Corinthians 5? 1 Corinthians 5 is excommunicate, kicking someone out of the church who is sleeping with his father's husband. I mean, I'm sorry, his father's wife, all right? 1 Corinthians 5 is telling them, you are accepting this man into here joyfully, who is sleeping with his father's wife. It's almost like they were bragging about it. And he says, expel the wicked man from you. The context of 1 Corinthians 5 is not wickedness on display on television. The context of 1 Corinthians 5 is the wickedness within their church that needs to be expelled. And I do not judge J-Lo and Shakira in terms of in my local body of Christ, bringing two or three witnesses against them, bringing them before the church and excommunicating them. I don't do that with J-Lo and Shakira. But what I do is what Ephesians 5:11 says, that we expose the unfruitful works of darkness. What is more unfruitful than sensuality on display in front of your children? What is more wicked than putting them in the bondage of sexual sin at a young age? Because that is exactly where they go. And sadly, I was pretty heartbroken to see so many Christians come to the defense or talk about how amazing this stripper pole performance was, that they would talk about it in such a way. And I also posted something, not just because, and we're going to talk a little bit about all of these things, not just because of this or because of Taylor Swift's recent comments concerning Christianity, but the comments that we usually get online, whenever we see this combination of words, you can usually guess that it's going to be unbiblical. I'm a Christian, but ... Anytime someone has to tell you, I'm a Christian, but I find nothing wrong with what J-Lo and Shakira were doing on stage half naked. It's part of their culture. Are you saying that it's cultural to be sensual and to get men to lust after you? That's a cultural thing? For me, that sounds pretty prejudiced. That somebody, their culture is just so wicked that they have to gyrate on a stripper pole in front of little children. That's pretty disgusting if that's your argumentation. Or let's go it further. I'm a Christian and I can't wait. Oh, actually, I'm a Christian, but I can't wait to show my kids J-Lo dancing on a stripper pole because I have a good sense of humor. And I think it's really funny that somebody who's 50 years old can do that on a stripper pole. And I can't wait to show how beautiful it was that she sang with her daughter on stage. Guys, this is gross. How can you say that as a believer? That's what you want to empower your child with? Come sing on stage, on the stage I just gyrated in front of a bunch of people, that on a stripper pole, half naked, grabbing my crotch and all the rest. Guys, this is grotesque. This is sick. This is the unfruitful work of darkness that should be exposed. Okay? That's a command in scripture. This isn't an excommunication of Shakira and J-Lo. What this is pointing out the fact that it's wicked, guys. And do you care for your children? Do you care for your daughters and your sons? Because I do. I care for my own two daughters and two boys, that they wouldn't fall into this sensual, this is the way of the world. That this is how they look at women these days. It's heartbreaking. And scripture is quite clear when it comes to this sort of thing. In Proverbs chapter 5, verse 3, it says, "For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword." Guys, we need to recognize, okay, that guess what? This is where this will lead, man. This is where it leads, these sensual desires, this lust. Jesus was not playing around when he said that you need to cut off your hand and pluck out your eyeball when it comes to lusting, because it'd be better if those things were thrown into the fire than your whole body, okay? You do not want to go to hell, and we need to start taking that seriously. We really, really do. And this idea of, I'm a Christian, but we need to get rid of that. We need to say our doctrine needs to show and our life needs to show that we love Jesus. That's the most important thing. And one of the things that really is sad is that Christians so often look for the approval of their own faith in the world. They look for the approval of their own faith in what they believe, and they glom on to and hold up celebrities that even make the smallest hint of a salvific statement. I wrote an article a while ago, and I think this is really, really important because of some recent statements that come out that I'm going to go through. But it's called, Who is Raising Your Kids, Celebrities or Jesus? And I want to read a bit from the article because I think it's really, really important. I think even the Christian Post ended up taking it as well, but they renamed it. I can't remember what. But in the article, it says this. One of the more problematic trends that has befallen the modern Christian church is that it has become enamored with something I would call spiritual celebritism. This is when a Christian is so enthralled by a celebrity that they feel the need for this celebrity to love Jesus, and in doing so, bring about some sort of validation in their personal faith. They will search and scour for any modicum of belief in a higher power and declare the celebrity a blood-bought believer. A quick scroll down Facebook, and you are likely to find a sponsored post from a Christian site with articles such as 10 celebrities you didn't know were Christians, or look how, insert popular celebrity here, stood up for their faith. Many of these celebrities have not even proclaimed a belief in Christ, and most live their public lives completely contrary to Scripture. The constant need for Christians to have a celebrity spokesperson has made it abundantly evident that far too many believers place too much weight on the oftentimes erroneous spiritual positions of these celebrity spokespersons. Now, in that article, I give a few examples from different celebrities. And guys, it really was something that was so bothersome as I was going through that when I wrote that article at that time, because you could just go on Facebook and over again, you see people, oh, look at him, he's a believer, I'm so excited. Or I talked to someone about their favorite sports team and they're like, oh, he's a believer. I remember someone was a huge John Mayer fan. They're like, he's even dating a Christian. And the Christian was Katy Perry. Okay, so to give you an idea, these are the kind of things. And you're like, guys, why are we even doing this? This is embarrassing. And that's been recently happening with the Super Bowl MVP, Pat Mahomes. I saw article after article, shared article with so many Chiefs fans so excited that Pat Mahomes, quote unquote, stands up for his faith. Now, I would point out, you can literally click on just about any highlight video he has, and you're going to see him say LFG, which is let's blank and go, over and over again, okay? But even if we push the profanity to the side, this recent win at the Super Bowl has got him all over the place, especially on Twitter. Video of him celebrating, and one of those videos is, of course, him pouring a drink from the Super Bowl bus that they are on to his tight end while they are all wasted and drunk. Remember that Scripture warns about getting your neighbor drunk. It's actually a woe and a judgment if you would do such a thing. And also somebody tweeted to him and he said, I just want to know how bad the hangover is, Pat Mahomes. And quote, Pat Mahomes from his Twitter, I went to Texas Tech. It prepared me for these moments. Bragging about his hangover. Of course, he's got sunglasses, puts a emoji of a guy in sunglasses. And guys, let's put the drunkenness to the side, which it doesn't need to be. The Bible's very clear in 1 Corinthians 6, no drunkard will inherit the kingdom of God. But also, go and look. He's been in a live-in relationship with his girlfriend for 9 years. Guys, this is what we are glomming onto. A guy mentioned that he had a faith in Jesus, and yet he's a fornicating drunkard. And we sit here and go, oh, let's talk about how great the MVP is because he glorifies God as he sleeps with his girlfriend. What do you think, guys, happens in youth groups? What do you think, guys, happens in churches? When that's the idea that you're so excited that that person is a quote-unquote Christian, and yet their public model of behavior is so antithetical to the Christian faith. Guys, we have the person that we can point to, the greatest celebrity of all time, and his name is Jesus. We get to point to him, and I get to say, that's my Savior. The God of the world, the creator of the universe, is the one I get to follow. There's nothing cooler than that. I don't need Justin Bieber. I don't need Haley Baldwin. I don't need Pat Mahomes. And I certainly don't need Taylor Swift. Which, by the way, as I said, I'm a Christian, but ... insert unbiblical statement, okay? Because that's recently all over the news because a trailer for a Netflix film with Taylor Swift came out. And in that trailer, she came out against and she was crying, saying, I have to make political statements. I have to make them. And she's battling with her parents and her publicist. And it's this big emotional time. And the reason is because she had to come against Marsha Blackburn. Okay. And this is one of the quotes. She said, quote, I can't see another commercial and see Marsha Blackburn disguising these policies behind the words Tennessee Christian values. Those aren't Tennessee Christian values. I live in Tennessee. I'm a Christian. That's not what we stand for. And in the clip, specifically, she mentions gay rights. Of course, right? That's what Christians don't stand for. And in 2019, for The Guardian, Swift also said, I mean, obviously, I'm pro-choice. I can't believe we're here. It's really shocking and awful. And I just want to do everything I can for 2020. I want to figure out exactly how I can help. Yes, Taylor Swift wants to make sure that babies can be murdered by Planned Parenthood. Okay? That's the truth. She wants to make sure that babies can be murdered. And I am sorry, if you believe in baby murder, you are not a blood-bought believer. If you want to pander to the baby murder audience and make sure that in 2020 we can kill as many babies as possible, you are not a blood-bought believer. You do not know Jesus. Proverbs 6 is very clear that God hates, abhors the shedding of innocent blood. No murderer has eternal life in them. If you are pro-abortion, I am sorry. You may be able to be confused, maybe a new convert. And we asked that question a couple weeks ago on the show, on our Facebook page and also on a show. Can you be for abortion? Not, hey, maybe you don't understand or something, and maybe you live in an area where you have no idea, you know, what a sonogram is or something. I don't know. But when you are this pro-abortion, and that's specifically what you want to get across, that babies can continue to be murdered, you are not a blood-bought believer. When you tell people to sit down and shut up and make videos making sure that Christians look as ignorant as possible, the Christians are white trash, trailer trash, okay? And that's the videos you make, Mrs. Swift. You are not a blood-bought believer. You do not have Jesus in your heart. You are not a Christian. And don't think that she's the only one of these big-time artists that claims to be a Christian. When Mike Pence, you know, he went to Hamilton and, you know, the whole, everyone came out against him and the vice president. That was a huge deal, right? And then in one of Lady Gaga's concerts, she wanted to make it abundantly clear that that man is not a Christian, okay? Because what she says is that this is what it means to be a Christian, is to not discriminate. You say we shouldn't discriminate against Christianity. You're the worst representation of what it means to be a Christian. She literally stopped her concert to scream that out. And she said, I'm a Christian woman. This is Lady Gaga. And what I do know about Christianity is that we bear no prejudice and everybody is welcome. Yes, all those who repent are welcome. But guys, the word holy, even of itself, means to separate, okay? The fact is, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we are called to be holy and separate, okay? In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it is very clear that for the blood-bought believers, we are the temple of God. God lives inside of us. And for those who are not, they are the temple of demons, and that we need to separate ourselves from the world concerning our meetings together, concerning our conduct. We need to look and act and be different than the outside world. This doesn't mean that I don't love someone who has a different opinion than me. This doesn't mean I don't love someone who is in sin. This means I actually love them enough to tell them the truth. I love them enough to say, hey, if you continue to live this way, you will perish. You're not going to be with Jesus. And this is exactly the Jesus of the Bible. This is what he does. He calls people to be accountable. If you guys remember, in Luke chapter 13, they come to Jesus with this problem of evil, we would even call it, right? That this terrible thing happened in Siloam and the tower fell and people died. And they want to know, what is the fate of these people that died when the tower of Siloam fell on them? What is their fate? And we get the same answer in verse 3 and verse 5 that Jesus gives to them. He brings it personal, as he always does. He just like he asked the disciples, who do they say that I am? Wait, no. Peter, who do you say that I am? Okay, he brings it directly to us. And that's exactly what he does in Luke 13 when this is brought up, when this is asked about the tower falling in Siloam. He says, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Lady Gaga, Taylor Swift, Pat Mahomes, all three claiming to be blood-bought believers, claiming to be Christians. But guess what? None of them actually following. And that's exactly what the warning is. And guys, whenever you're reading scripture, make sure you don't just take verses out of context and be like, oh, I'm just going to throw this verse together and it means a lot to me. Go and look, what is the author conveying? One of the most dangerous things you can do is what is done at most Bible studies. What does this verse mean to you? You shouldn't care. I don't care what this verse means to you. I care what God is trying to tell me in that verse in context. I care what the author's intent is, not what my opinion is. And what was Paul conveying in 1 Corinthians 6 when he warns so clearly, do not be deceived? Well, guess what? When it says don't be deceived, know that the church is probably going to be deceived in this day and age, okay? Liars and fornicators and adulterers and drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God. What is the context? It comes on the backdrop in 1 Corinthians of them accepting, especially in chapter 5, accepting someone who is sleeping with someone outside of marriage and thinking they're completely fine. And he says, you shouldn't even eat with someone who does this. You do not bring someone into your fellowship. You do not call someone a believer who acts in such a way. You need to make sure they know they are not brethren and they need to repent. You don't do this to be evil. You don't do this to be mean. You don't do this to be wicked. You do this act so that they know you are not a believer. You are not currently saved. You need to repent and trust in Jesus. If you are practicing these things, you are not one of our brethren. It is not loving to let them sit there at your dinner table and hold them as if they're brethren when they are not, when they will perish and you say nothing. That is what 1 Corinthians 5 addresses when it says, do not even eat with a so-called believer that practices unrighteousness. That is precisely what God is saying, and it's not to be mean. In Matthew chapter 18, when we have church discipline, it is so what? Why did Jesus say church discipline? So you can be a meanie and kick people? No, it's for reconciliation. They are in sin and they need to be reconciled. They are in sin and they need to be reconciled. Give them chance after chance after chance, and then boom, you got to give them the boot to show them love is the truth. It's not loving to lie to people. It's not loving to call people believers that are not. It is not loving to act like someone is a believer when they're not. As what you are doing, as Leonard Ravenhill would say, is you're giving them a shot to put them to sleep so they can get to hell quicker. Over my dead body will that happen. I want people to know where their fate is. I want people to know what Jesus was so clear on. Cut off your hand, pluck out your eyeball. There is nothing more important than your salvation. Loving, knowing, following, and serving our Lord Jesus Christ because he is more than worthy. This has been Chad Davidson, and this is the 511 News.